This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Wow, it's great out there. 62 and sunny, low 41 tonight. We start warming up. The warming up is just now beginning. It's going to get into the 80s next week, but tomorrow, partly sunny, high of 67, low of 44, and then Saturday, rain is what's expected right now, but a high of 70. So we're getting into those really warm temperatures. Imagine this. Imagine feeling, literally feeling the pain of the emotional and physical experiences of other people. Well, that's what my next guest writes about. Dr. Joelle Salinas is the author of Mere Touch, Notes from a Doctor Who Can Feel Your Pain, and he does just that. Dr. Salinas, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
The book is called Mere Touch, and the condition is, what's it called exactly? What is the condition?
It's called mirror touch synesthesia.
Synesthesia. And is it a known, I mean, is it a common kind of thing, or what is that?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, the gist of what it is what someone feels, I physically feel in my body. So if you're gasping for air, I feel it. If you're having a panic attack, I feel it. And what we know about kind of what causes this kind of brain wiring, essentially, is everybody has what's called a mirror neuron system in their bodies and in their brains. It's kind of what helps you to tell how other people are feeling or experiencing in the world. But for the most part, for everybody, that experience is unconscious, happens without you knowing it. Mm-hmm. From time to time, it'll be so active that it does cross into consciousness. So, for example, if you are watching a football game and somebody suddenly gets tackled in the stomach, that kind of cringe everybody gets, that's that system. And for 2 out of 100 people with what's called mirror touch synesthesia, that system's activity is so heightened that it's conscious all the time. Mm. And then another part of that is the parts of the brain that help us tell the difference between our own bodies and the body of the people that we're seeing, those parts of the brain are smaller and less active, so that activity is even greater.
Wow. So you now, was this something you always experienced your whole life?
Yeah. Looking back on my childhood, I always had a sense that there was something different or odd about me, but I always chalked it up to being like a weird kid. But in retrospect, I definitely still had the experience. So like watching cartoons like the Roadrunner sticks his tongue out, I feel like my tongue is sticking out. If Wile E. Coyote gets hit by a truck, I feel like I've been hit by a truck.
Did it make you want to avoid people?
Well, as a kid, I was very avoidant at first. And then over time, I kind of gradually opened up. And it was only until I was in medical school that I even learned that synesthesia was even a thing, let alone that my sensory world was so different compared to others. Right. And looking at other people who have mirror touch synesthesia, I would consider myself one of the lucky ones. Mirror touch synesthesia, I feel like it helped me to be a better doctor once I was able to harness the experience. But other mirror touch synesthetes haven't been able to strike that balance. Yeah. There's this one woman named Amanda with mirror touch synesthesia, and she has essentially become a shut-in. She doesn't really interact with other people at all.
Right. No, it seems like that would be the natural thing to do. I mean, there's so much anger out there in the world, right? A lot of pain, certainly. Yeah. A lot of negativity, right? I mean, it's everywhere. You're saying if you have this condition, you literally feel everyone's horrible emotions, that kind of thing?
Yeah, the physical experience of what you see in front of you, and that includes the emotional experience as well. And it's 2 out of 100 people. Mm. If you were to just ask kind of whether somebody has this experience or kind of aspects of it, you'd maybe find that 10 out of 100 people have it. But if you do objective testing in a laboratory setting, that number goes down to about 2 in 100.
Talking to Dr. Joelle Salinas, his new book is Mirror Touch, Notes from a Doctor Who Can Feel Your Pain. So how does it work when a patient's in your office and they're suffering from a lot of pain? How do you begin to deal with that when you're feeling it too?
Well, I'll give you an example how clinically it can be helpful for me. So just recently, I was consulted to see a woman with cerebral palsy, and because of her cerebral palsy, she can't speak. And they consulted me because she woke up one morning very agitated, kind of combative, and swinging at her nurses and nurses' aides. So when I go and see her, I certainly feel kind of the feeling of sweat on her face, the kind of strands of her hair kind of sticking to her forehead, mm-hmm. and her furrowing of her brow. But there's some other sensation there that I can't shake, and that's kind of this mirroring sensation of my chest rising faster than my own chest. I have a hard time even keeping up. And then there's also kind of the mirrored activation of shoulder muscles in my own shoulder muscles. And because of that, I couldn't really explain that, and I had to trust kind of my merits in anesthesia and ordered a special test, and it turned out that she had blood clots in her lungs.
Wow. Okay. So now, does it have a psychic kind of aspect to it where you feel like you can almost sense what people are thinking, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it all has to travel through my senses, and it's all kind of a glitch of my brain's wiring, really. I don't have psychic abilities. I wouldn't call myself a psychic, but it's really because the information that I'm able to pick up on can be so kind of minute and very much negligible. It can seem as if it is psychic, but it's really just kind of a very, very heightened kind of brain state.
Okay. So if you're dealing with, you're a Harvard trained neurologist, if you're dealing with somebody that has some horrible headache, do you feel that actual pain in your own head?
Yeah, I mean, I feel all the discomfort of the people around me, and a part of what I've had to learn how to do is just kind of how to navigate that, and sometimes it means kind of focusing away from the person and kind of focusing on a random object that doesn't have a facial expression, but sometimes when the patient really needs it, I can focus on their experience, and in kind of sharing in that experience, I feel that the patient gets to be a little less alone, and that really means a lot in medicine.
And what does that do, by the way, Dr. Joel Salinas with us? The book is Mirror Touch. What does that do for personal relationships when you're that sensitive to things?
Yeah, it certainly complicates personal relationships. Because of the mirror touch anesthesia, I'm pretty much wide open and vulnerable to taking on kind of the darkest emotions and suffering of the people around me.
Okay.
Even I would say the people that I spend the most time with, it's almost like my kind of brain's mental body map can become extended to the other person that I'm with. So even separating from them can become almost physically painful.
Now, what do you mean by that? What happens, as in when they leave the room or something or walk away?
But no, having to kind of separate, like kind of cutting away from a person, like the kind of even the prospect of causing harm to another person is reflected on my own body. So it's like causing self-harm at the same time. It's kind of like a amped up version of what you would see in someone who's codependent or enmeshed.
Interesting. How many people do you think that have this that don't know they have it, but feel that they're oversensitive and try to take medication to somehow mask this?
That's an interesting question. I would say that it would be worth having a conversation with the physician about what might be making the experiences distressing. Because in and of itself, it wouldn't be considered a disorder. It's just kind of like it just happens to be that way in the brain. Kind of like some people are really good at music while horrible at math.
Yeah.
This just happens to be an experience in the brain. And whether or not you kind of respond to that experience with anxiety or depression, I think that depends from case to case and your circumstances. So sometimes
How would you say you generally responded to this condition yourself then?
For myself, it's really been a matter of building up my own kind of resilience around kind of whatever is most distressing. So that means kind of taking care of myself day after day, doing like really simple things that we all forget about, like making sure that I'm sleeping properly, that I'm eating properly, making sure that I get exercise, like really simple things. And one thing that I've actually found really helpful is mindfulness meditation. I mean, it's one of these practices that we hear about a lot, but I mean, it really has a lot of concrete benefit in quality of life, but even changes kind of the circuitry of the brain.
Yeah. Do you kind of wish you didn't have this condition? Do you call it a condition, or what do you call it yourself?
I call it a trait, I would say it would be hard to imagine my life without it. It's always been a part of me and a part of how I sense the world, so not having it would be like losing a sense.
Do you think people that are considered oversensitive or oversympathetic to other people, do they likely have something like this?
It's possible. You know, I think the kind of the nature of this circuitry, really from person to person, we all sit along a spectrum, I would say. So some people may be on the extreme side of that spectrum where it could be categorized as mirror touch and anesthesia, but there's all this other space before that. And I think people can fall in that range. And, you know, one of my hopes with this book is that people won't just learn more about mirror touch and anesthesia and how the brain works, but more importantly, learn how to develop their own kind of heightened, more engaged sense of empathy.
When was this actually named? At what point did people acknowledge this existed?
Yeah, the first case was reported in 2005, which was when I was in my first year of medical school. But even in the last 10 years, a lot has been learned using functional MRI data and just looking at the structure of the brain, and a bunch of other tools that have been replicated across multiple universities.
Obviously, it's been around since the dawn of mankind, but do you think this was viewed as just someone being a little crazy back in the day?
Well, there are so many things that we all thought was just a little crazy back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think this is maybe just one of the many things that people kind of misunderstood.
Hmm. One last thing, when someone approaches you with enormous anger, let's say, and you can feel that anger, maybe if it's directed towards you, what do you feel? What do you do at that point?
Oh, I mean, especially earlier on in my life, it was really, really kind of alarming just to feel like that anger reflected in my own body towards myself. Mm. And some of the things that I've had to learn, especially in the last few years, was really how to set kind of firm yet thoughtful boundaries with that experience. And sometimes that means really learning how to navigate the extremes between being hyper-empathetic versus almost kind of focusing away from the other person's experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the time it's just a matter of reasoning. You know, I might be feeling the distress in my own body, but realizing that it's not my anger.
Yeah, I mean, it seems almost natural that a person be drawn to even substance abuse to kind of dull some of these sensitivities, right?
Yeah, I think it's possible, especially if someone has kind of a negative kind of relationship with those experiences.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing book, and it's an amazing experience. Dr. Joelle Salinas, the book is Mirror Touch, Notes from a Doctor Who Can Feel Your Pain. Dr. Joelle Salinas, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Dr. Salinas.
Thank you very much.